Reporting from Burnaby, BC, this is Danny Nesvetarani, your community journalist for CJSF 90.1 FM. The Women's Print History Project at Simon Fraser University is the first comprehensive bibliographical database of women's contributions to print during the long 18th century. As part of the project's 10th anniversary celebration, a special collections exhibit was curated at the W.A.C. Bennett Library at SFU, titled Earth Love, intended chiefly for young persons. The exhibit includes books and prints about gardens and plant history, indigenous knowledge, and literary works engaging with nature found in the special collections and rare books area of the SFU Library, all while surrounded by children's paintings of nature. To learn more about the exhibit, we reached out to its curators, Selena Wiener, a poet and PhD student studying English literature at SFU, and Denise Alexichuk, an art historian and associate professor for SFU's School of Contemporary Arts. Please take a listen to our conversation.
The first question I have is just, how did the both of you get involved to collaborate on curating this exhibition, Earth Love, intended chiefly for young persons?
Well, I started working on it as a grant application for the Fast Breaking Barriers Award that came into play about 2 years ago. And with Michelle Levy. She's in the English department, a professor in the English department. She works in the Romantic era. So I applied for a grant with her and other people to break boundaries between departments, basically, to use the Women Print History Database to access information about women writers that would be interesting for my research. And my research is on plant history and landscape painting and ecology and the aesthetics and politics of climate change. So I applied for a grant with Michelle, and we were talking about ways that we could collaborate. And this was one of the ways that we collaborated was that we would work on an exhibition that we could put on display in a public-facing way in the library. So I worked on it independently from her because she went on to work on other projects in that project. And then I hired Selena Wiener to work for me as a research assistant.
Yeah, I'm a research assistant on the Women's Print History Project. Michelle Levy is my supervisor, and we were allowed to pick a project that would work to make the data in the Women's Print History Project database more visible. So I was really attracted to this project with Denise because I did my master's thesis on botanical feminism in Mary Shelley's work. So I was really, really excited to work with Denise and kind of learn so much from her about art history and the curatorial modes and sort of bridge that with my own research in the archive of books. So yeah, it's been really, really fun.
And I know this was something that you touched on a bit yesterday during the tour, but I want to know, what made you decide on the name Earth Love, intended chiefly for young persons?
Maybe I could speak to that a little bit. Well, Earth Love, I feel like, came from Denise. She had this idea for Earth Love as being kind of emphasizing, you know, climate change is really scary, but we wanted to bring children into the natural world in a way that would make them, you know, embrace the natural world. So the idea of love and care was something we wanted to emphasize. And then I was thinking about Priscilla Wakefield's An Introduction to Botany. And how that book is, you know, chiefly intended for young persons. It's intended for mothers to teach their daughters about botany. So yeah, bridging this idea of like feminist literatures in the garden and art, but our audience being with children who are making these paintings and being brought into the physical space of the garden.
Yeah, and that was a really cool part about this exhibition too, is I think a lot of times when you see the sort of special showcase exhibitions within the SFU library, they are just glass cases full of books from the collection, right? But this one had all of these paintings from all these younger people. I believe that they were part of this program that was run by local indigenous artist Titonatzi Weiss. And I was wondering if you could explain how that even just came to be at all in the first place.
Right. Well, I've been working with Toitonat Weiss for many years. I've been going on their nature walks for about a decade, and I invite them to come and speak to my classes regularly. So, because Cease had the field house in Stanley Park for a couple of years and grew a garden, I and then I also encouraged them to apply for the Shadboat Fellowship. So Cease is a Shadboat Fellow at the SFU right now. So there are more teaching opportunities for them. So Cease invited the class that is connected through me. A former student of mine has a daughter in grade three, Natalie Sorensen, and her daughter is in this school that was renamed recently an Indigenous name. From the language of the Musqueam people, and it's called Wakwanis-Tsessaquem, school. It was renamed after seismic improvement. It was renamed after so that it wouldn't be the name of the former name of Sir Matthew Begbie, who was considered who's known as the hanging judge. So there was a kind of a process of reconciliation and renaming of that school in Hastings Sunrise. And actually, the name means the sun rising over the horizon. So it's a really beautiful name for that school. So basically, I know Natalie, and I knew Natalie had an 8-year-old child. And I asked if Natalie, who's a kind of class parent, would help me to get a class to come and work with Cease, because Cease is really terrific with children and loves to work with them in the land and out of doors and do outdoor education, basically. And Cease is an ethnobotanist, so there was a lot of space in that kind of relationship to create something valuable for everyone and to spread the news and the information about plants to the new generation. The other thing that was inspiring for me was this show by Steve McQueen at the Tate Britain Gallery in London, and it was called Year Three. And what he did was he went and he took class photos of all of the year three students in public schools in London and put those photos on display in the museum and invited all of the students to come and see themselves in the museum. And the reason that he did that is because he said that when you're 7 or 8 years old, your brain just suddenly just kind of realizes that you are part of a larger world and that you are going to be having an impact on that world. And if you have an expanded horizon, and which includes art and art museums and the wider world in general, then you will make better choices on what you will do in that world in the future. So I just really thought that this was a great opportunity to give children an education about plants from an Indigenous perspective. And Indigenous perspectives are all about love and sharing love. So the Earth Love idea came from my readings by Indigenous people, including Leanne Bettis-Amosake-Simpson and Robin Wall Kimmerer. All of these two writers I mentioned talk about their love of the Earth and how they do things to show their love for the earth. And I feel that that's missing in Western culture. We don't actually appreciate the natural world as much as we ought to. One of the examples I used in the talk yesterday was about Robert McFarlane's The Lost Words book that he did in 2017, the expanded version with the illustrations by Jackie Morris. And he was emphasizing that the Oxford Junior Dictionary had eliminated about 50 words that were everyday terms that related to nature from the dictionary to include more technological words. So once he when he did the book, people were outraged. They were thinking, this is a problem. We don't want our children not to know the words for fern or willow or acorn, etc. And so the words were put back in, but it's really a symptom of a larger problem, isn't it? I mean, that children are not as aware of the natural world as they used to be. They're not outdoors as often as they might be, as they need to be healthy. So I really think that this was an opportunity to give children an outdoor education and expand their horizon and allow them to make art out of doors. And so to this whole tradition of making art out of doors is really exciting and old and long term. And usually you use watercolor because it's quick drying. And this is exactly what the students did. We made tea. Cease has beautiful herbal teas that they sell. They have a little company. We had made tea and we set them up with all the equipment. And then they just went to work and made these beautiful paintings, which helped to animate our display.
Yeah, that's very beautiful. I feel like I noticed that so many of the paintings were specifically of leaves, which I feel like is very common. Like I remember being that age, and the prompt they would give you is, paint something in nature, and you'd paint a leaf. But I do think that there is value in like having to like really slow down and depict something that you see hundreds of every day, but you might not like fully consider, especially at that age. So it was really cool to just see them all side by side and kind of see how each kid separately interpreted what the prompt was, essentially.
Well, it was they collected the leaves, actually. They were on the ground.
Yeah, it was like it had been a really rainy day the night before, I think, and the leaves had fallen from the trees, so they were kind of like spread out all over the garden. So they were asked to pick a plant. We didn't necessarily say which plant. So they picked up these leaves that were covering the garden. But it was, yeah, I think it was interesting for them to kind of, they were looking at like the spines of the leaves and just being able to kind of like get really, really close to that object and then sort of interpret it as a painting. And then we get this huge variety of color in the exhibit, which yeah, brings life to the, the cream color of the books, but also emphasizes the multimedia aspect of a lot of botanical literatures in the period, which have these lovely botanical illustrations included.
I believe one of the last questions that I have for both of you, and I know, when it comes to any exhibition like this, there is a degree that is up to the interpretation of whoever is viewing it. But I was wondering if, you two as the curators, if there are certain things or a certain specific takeaway that you hope people have when they go and view this.
Yeah, I guess like my takeaway would be to, well, something Denise said yesterday in our talk was to reflect on your own relationship to the land. And when you ask the earth to love you, like what are you giving back? And I think the garden space historically and into the present has always been this space of cultivation and intimacy with the earth, where your hands or women's hands sort of enter into the garden space and engage with it in this sort of like really embodied way. So thinking about in the day-to-day, how are we acting in reciprocity with the earth and how and as we how we as individuals can do more to think about and to act on climate change and its urgency.
I agree with that. I think that it really is about bringing attention to the plant world. And there's a thing called plant awareness disparity that we now have a cognitive bias where humans are failing to notice, appreciate, or understand the importance that plants of the plants that surround them. And I feel that there's a plant lack of public interest in plant conservation and botany. And we fail to recognize their fundamental role in human survival. So I really would like people to acknowledge plants. I've been doing a lot of reading on plants recently because I'm researching artists' gardens and how they use plants to make art and how it's kind of a relational dynamic going on that the plant has its own kind of behavior, and the artist and is responding to that. And I think that it's interesting, like for instance, Abbas Akvan is actually having a show at the Canadian Pavilion at the Venice Biennale currently, and he's created an exhibition in which a gigantic water lily is going to grow during the exhibition, and it's basically that's the ex exhibition is basically watching this gigantic water lily expand over the course of the exhibition, and perhaps and at the end of the exhibition, which is in November, probably wilt and die. It's just a kind of an interesting thing to do. It's to draw attention to plant biology, and also its kind of relationship to humans and also to colonialism, like where the plant came from in South America and how it got to Britain, to Kew Garden, and then now it's in the Canadian Pavilion. It's kind of like this idea of transporting plants internationally and how people have traditionally thought of plants as possessions and also kind of collector's items, instead of thinking them as a relationship in which there's a lot of respect and also knowledge that goes into it. So basically, I would really like people to think that plants are the basis of survival of any human and or wild being on the earth. Plants are the basis of our survival of all living beings. So I really love the indigenous attitude that you give a gift when you harvest a plant. You give some kind of recognition or some kind of ceremony, because I think that we're taking them for granted. And I'm just looking at the summer season and all the warnings about droughts and wildfires. I feel that this is we've come to a point in the history of the world where we have to kind of change very quickly. And the way that to do that is to introduce children to these notions of change early and get them on board. And so my, utopian view is that we get rid of all nationalisms and become earthlings, and we all work together. And I really loved, even though it was a very hard book to read, I really loved Octavia Butler's Parable of the Sower. I don't know if you've read it, but it's really fascinating. And it was written in 1993, but it's about a woman named Lauren who, has a go bag basically for when the disaster hits her community. And that's exactly what happens. And she grabs her go bag, and in the go bag is a book on botany, and it teaches her how to plant plants to survive. And basically, when things come to the very basic survival mechanisms, you need to have plants to survive, and you need to know how to grow them and cook with them, etc. So I really feel that I put that book, it's from my own collection, in the vitrine, just to kind of encourage people to read it and just to realize that when you think about survival in the future, we're going to need these basic skills, and we're going to need this knowledge, and we should appreciate plants more.
Yeah, I think what I got from that is like thinking, yeah, of the relationships we have with plants as that a relationship. It's reciprocal, and it's something that we need to nurture and not take for granted. That was everything I had to ask for both of you, but I guess how long can people see this exhibition for at the SFU Public Library?
It's only on until June the 3rd. I'm taking it down June the 3rd, so it's almost closed. But we are going to make an online catalog so that we'll put a lot of the pictures and the books on display and talk about the genesis and the manifestation of the exhibition.
Once again, that was our conversation with Selena Wiener and Denise Alexichuk, curators of the WAC Bennett Library exhibit titled Earth Love, intended chiefly for young persons, which you can see up until June 3rd of this year. But as stated in the interview, you can access these materials online after June 3rd. This has been Danny Nesvedarani, your community journalist for CJSF 90.1 FM. This segment would not have been possible without the continued support of the Community Radio Fund of Canada's Local Journalism Initiative.
You can also find this piece on frequencynews.ca.